In the studio with me today is Dr. Lily Gordon, the director of the UT Middle East Ensemble. Welcome to WUOT, and thanks for taking time to talk about the Middle East Ensemble and your upcoming performance.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, to begin with, when was the UT Middle East Ensemble created?
I started the ensemble in the winter of 2016, so about three and a half years ago. I had been playing this kind of music for many years in undergrad and graduate school and really missed playing, and also saw some students that I thought might be interested in participating in something like that.
And so how many students did you start out with?
The first semester actually grew throughout the semester once people started to hear about it. I think we had 12 or 13 in our first show, some students and some community members. I'm committed to the idea that the ensemble is open to people from the community as well as students.
And what instruments are in the ensemble?
So it kind of depends from year to year who's in the group. I should say we play a diverse set of music from different parts of the Middle East. So some songs from Armenia and some songs from the Arab world and some Sephardic Jewish songs. So I really try to mix it up. So some of those traditions have instruments that are more associated with them, and there's a lot of diversity there too. Mm-hmm. But in our group, we have a lot of hand percussion instruments. There's a lute type instrument that I sometimes play, and I have several that I teach people on, called the oud, which is actually the ancestor of the lute. It's the word lute comes from the word el-oud, mm-hmm. the oud in Arabic. We usually have bowed strings, so my principal instrument is the violin, but the violin has been firmly adopted and adapted into especially Arab music for at least the last 150 years or so. It's a very different style of playing than like playing in an orchestra or playing old-time fiddle or something like that. There's some instruments that can be incorporated easier than others. So this semester we have a saxophone player and an accordion player, and those are instruments that are sometimes used or used more in some genres than others in the Middle East. So we bring them in to be able to incorporate more people. And then we also have a chorus of singers.
And so if a student comes to you and wants to be involved in the ensemble, do you find a place for them no matter what instrument they play?
Yes. So either I say, okay, you can play your instrument, or let me hand you a drum, or do you want to start off in the chorus and I can start to teach you oud and you can pick it up slowly and that kind of thing. Yes, I try to have it be open to everyone. We don't have auditions or anything like that. So some people in the group are very serious musicians in terms of they play all the time and they play professionally, and some people in the group, this is the only music that they do and they're amateurs, and we're very happy to have both.
So how many performances do you typically give each semester, and do you have outreach performances?
Definitely. So we give one main concert every semester in the School of Music, our sort of culmination of our work that semester, but we've played a wide variety of community gigs. We've played for the last 3 years at the Arab Fest. We've played at the World Refugee Celebration at that Bridge Refugee Services sponsors. We have played at the Rossini Festival, and we will again this year. We have played for the Community Thanksgiving in town, other events that are sponsored by the Arab American community or the Greek American community. So I really am committed to not just confining our activities to UT, but going out into the community as well.
And so let's talk about Middle Eastern music in general. From, you mentioned this sort of briefly, from what area of the world does the music come, and what time period are we talking about here?
So we play a variety from song to song. That the answer to that question can be very different. The repertoire that I know the best is what some people call Eastern Arab art music. So music from urban centers on the eastern side of the Mediterranean. So Cairo in Egypt, Beirut, Lebanon, Aleppo and Damascus, Syria. There's kind of a shared urban tradition between those cities. And the main time period of the music that we mostly play are sort of what some people call the golden age of the 20th century. So music from the 40s, 50s and 60s. It's interesting because that music is both, like, everybody knows a lot of the songs that we play if you've grown up in those places. So they're sort of beloved, and in some ways you could think of them as popular music, but also they are really respected in terms of being sophisticated compositions and things like that. So it's that distinction between art music and popular music is not so important or so clear-cut, I guess, in the Arab world. So that's the heart of our repertoire. If you can make it to our concert, you'll hear some instrumental pieces, you'll hear a lot of vocal pieces, some with solo singers, some with the whole group. You'll see a little bit of one long dance set. So I think it's a show that can be interesting for a lot of different people, and we would love to see some new faces in the audience. That would be great.
You've named a few of these, but what are some more of the instruments that are unique to this culture?
So I talked about the oud. This semester we don't have anybody playing these, but there's a flute called the nai, which is made out of a reed flute that's very beautiful, very breathy sound. Unlike the silver flute that you might hear in an orchestra where you're trying to get away from the sound of hearing breath and air and that kind of thing, you want that in the aesthetic of hearing the nai. The percussion instruments that you would see in our group, so there's one that's the sort of main loudest one that's shaped a bit like a goblet. That different versions of that drum are found all over the Middle East and in fact all over the world. The different names that you find in the countries that we are covering music from might be darbuka or derbeki or dumbek. I see these all related words. In Egypt, they actually call that drum tabla. There's another drum that's like a tambourine, but you don't want to think of tambourine like backup singer in a band casually shaking it around. Mm-hmm. This is a high art instrument that you can major in at the conservatory. The instrument's called the rik. And then we're using one more drum, a frame drum that also goes by different names, bendir being one of them. So just a circular frame with a drum head pulled over the top of it.
Another element that is unique to Middle Eastern music are the scales and modes on which the music is based. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So I'll just speak about Arab music for now. There's a whole system of modes. So modes you can think of as like a scale, but with more information. So not just what are the pitches, but which are the important pitches, what are the characteristic phrases of each one that makes it sound like its mood. So I always tell my students that every mode has a mood, and you might not be able to express it exactly verbally. It's not quite that simple, like this one is sad and this one is happy, but they each kind of have their own mood. So what are the characteristic phrases that make that mode sound like its mood? There's some pitch hierarchy, which are the important notes. There's some ornamentation differences from one mode to another. And one fascinating thing about Arab music is that some of the modes, which are called maqam or maqamat, they use quarter tones, so notes between the notes on the piano, break up an octave into 24 notes rather than 12 notes. Each maqam still usually just uses 7 of those, like a major or a minor scale, 7-note scale, still very common. But you hear some notes that couldn't be played on the piano. So that's one thing that's unique about that music. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to play a little bit of what that sounds like?
Yeah, I would love that. Lily brought her oud with her.
I'm going to play the first couple of notes of a major scale, mm-hmm. and then the first couple of notes of a minor scale, and then the first couple of notes of maqam, so the mode that's called rust, where the third degree is going to be one of those notes between the notes. It's going to be a E half flat. So here's major. Here's minor. Rust. So it might sound, when I played it the first time, it might sound, you know, kind of gross if you're used to being taught that that's not an in-tune note. But hopefully when I started to play around with it a little more, you get used to it very quickly and you sort of start to hear it in the context of the other pitches around it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was your experience.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it just has like a different color to it, mm-hmm. but it's beautiful. Definitely not something our ears are used to, but it's, yeah, I find it very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Historically, this music wasn't notated. It was oral tradition, right? Passed down through oral tradition. And that's contributed to the fact, anyway, that it's still played with what I would call a heterophonic texture. So what does that mean? That means everybody in the group's playing the same basic melody, but everybody in the group's ornamenting that melody a little bit differently at the same time. So you get this texture of, if you're picturing visually, you can see the roadmap, you can see where we're going, but there's all these different decorations all around that basic line. Kind of improvisation within composition, right? So you're sticking close to the composition, but you have a lot of room to play around with melodies and things like that. It's not music that historically used harmony either. So the complexity of this music is in the modes, different makam, and how a melody unfolds over time, rather than how chord changes impact how the melody feels to you at different moments. So that's kind of an interesting difference, I think, maybe for some of your listeners.
One of the beautiful things about music is that it's a language that's used and can be understood all around the world. It's important to every culture, and it can be used to bridge gaps. What benefits do you see for our community by having a Middle Eastern ensemble here in Knoxville?
Thank you very much for that question. I think that, you know, with especially since 9/11, but even before that, the depiction of the Middle East in the news in America has tended to be very focused on conflict and turmoil, and in some ways has kind of maybe dehumanized some of the populations over there or reduced them to people in the midst of a religious or an ethnic or political conflict. So I think for people who haven't traveled abroad much or haven't lived in very diverse communities, I think that an ensemble like this can kind of help to remind people of the humanity of populations over there when, oh, here's a Syrian love song. So maybe you've been hearing about the horrific Syrian civil war for the last 8 years, but here's, you know, this is real people, right? So here's, you know, a beloved love song that your uncle would sing at that wedding, right, after the party's gotten going. So I really hope that the ensemble does a couple of different things. So I've tried to cultivate a community within the group itself. We're friends and we're a welcoming, open, kind of safe space musically and also for different kinds of people in the ensemble itself. Two, I know there are people of Middle Eastern heritage in Knoxville that have been very happy to have a group of musicians and new people learning about this music in town, and also the opportunity for us to play at some of their events and that kind of thing in a place where they can sometimes feel like quite a minority. And then thirdly, I hope that in reaching people who haven't been familiar with this music, that the ensemble will open their eyes to some of the beautiful and heartfelt and just real life world of a lot of the people from the Middle East.
Absolutely. Dr. Lily Gordon, director of the UT Middle East Ensemble, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Again, the University of Tennessee Middle East Ensemble performs on Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. The concert is free and open to the public and will be presented in Powell Recital Hall in the Natalie Hassell Music Center on the UT campus.